What is up, everybody? Welcome to maybe a new era we got going on here at the Chasing Daylight Podcast. You can see if you are live on YouTube with us, there's some little bit of changes going on in the background. I'm going to learn how to do this. Hopefully it goes a little bit. This is the Omaha episode. Some changes. Dropped this on Joe at the last second. But we're giving StreamYard a try. This evening. So thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see how this goes, and hopefully, you know, it goes well, and we'll have some new stuff for everybody here. Thanks for tuning in. Hope everybody had an amazing golf week this past week. There was quite a bit going on in the golfing world. You can see our little ticker running down at the bottom if you're joining us live. And some things that we'll be talking about tonight. Of course, Tiger breaking the internet with the news that a lot of people have been speculating and have been saying it's taking place. Tiger is leaving Nike, going elsewhere. There's all kinds of things to, say about that. We've been saying that it's Grayson. Other people are saying,
he was going straight to China and just fucking knitting the shit himself.
Joe put a post out there begging that he comes back to hitting greens. And, I thought as much as I'm not a big fan of my golf spy, having Kirkland's signature on his red shirt was hilarious. There's been a lot of creative things. Did you guys see the Topgolf ad employee? It was hilarious.
Was that real? Was that out there? Did you search for it?
I just heard it from secondhand, so I don't know how legit it was. But saying must be willing to work weekends, must be willing to travel, living in Jupiter, Florida as a bonus, must not required. Started
playing golf before five.
Yeah, 27 years experience in the industry. You need to wear red on Sundays. It was pretty creative. So. Let me check and see if we're going live on Facebook or not. I don't know. Anyways,
it on Instagram. So
you're not seeing it on Instagram?
I am not. No. Oh, yeah, there we are. Hey. Okay. Hey. We're live on Instagram.
Okay. Joe with the,
hey, decent lag time there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had just said it and it was there. So.
Nice.
Shout out to StreamYard. Hello.
Yeah, StreamYard. So, we'll go over this. So, we're a podcast that we're doing stuff on YouTube. We're trying to, expand our reach with different platforms. So, this is some of the cool things. If I'm talking, I can just go me. If Joe wants to say something, let me add him back. Joe, yeah. Hey,
yes, hello.
Jeremy's here as well. Oh, he's playing with us on the mute button. I see how he is. And we got Dan in the house. And then
someone must have called Anderson Dairy and found him.
Yes. Dan, you want to explain what happened last week?
I'm sure you guys know. I just got caught up at work. I honestly thought I was going to get off before the podcast started, but I got called to the arena. I ended up leaving my phone in the shop, and I didn't leave the arena for like 3.5 hours later. So,
jeez.
Yes, I kind of dropped the ball on that and was MIA last week. Excuse me.
You were missed. You were missed.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I was a little disappointed, but we're good.
I was having some fun with the milk. Joe suggested the milk carton, so we put that out there. And The guy attacking the judge was insane. And, I threw that out there saying that reports were coming back that it was you, but it wasn't.
I'm not that athletic. That dude launched over that bench.
Have you seen all the parody videos?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've seen quite a few.
Oh, my God. They're hilarious. The guy training in his living room.
Always undefeated.
Oh, and then Vegas Issues had the parody where the people with the bailiff with his shirt open eating Cheetos out of his pocket comes up and hands the guy his baby before he jumps. Oh, I mean, Vegas is always in the news one way or another, and that was Wow, that was absolutely crazy. So we got a couple different little formats that we can do. We can kind of zoom in on each other. We can split it up like this. And there's all kinds of other things. So we're going to be messing around with it and seeing how it goes. Let's see here. I can do this here. There's so many cool things. I'm kind of liking this. So we'll play around with it. We'll get the feedback from all you guys. Let us know if you like this new format or not. If you're tuning in on YouTube, leave a comment. Thanks so much. We're going to be talking about the things on the bottom. So if anybody has anything that they want to chime in on about, please do so.
Hey, we got Big Matt in here, PNW golfer, great photographer. We should probably get him on the podcast one of these days. That would be a good get. But yeah, we got some people tuning in live on the IG. I love it.
Nice. Welcome, everybody.
If you got anything to say, hit me up. I'm watching it, so let me know.
Yeah, and you know, you can actually see all of us this week.
Yeah.
So it's not just me and half of Joe's face and half of Jeremy's face. So good to go on that. All right. So let's get into the Century Not a Tournament of Champions golf outing that took place over this past 4 days in Kapalua.
Tournament of leftovers.
Well, you know, they've changed the rules. They're not calling it the TOC anymore. Everybody just refers to it as that because that's what it was for so long and for so many years. But it is just the Century now. It's not the Century Tournament of Champions because you can get in not being a champion. They've expanded it, 750 points, FedEx Cup points in the new format for this event. So, you know, majors used to be 600 majors were 500. Mm-hmm. This is now it's 700 or 750 point event. They've really changed. We're going to have to really dig into the point structure of this and see how all these events come down. Cause they have the elevated or the signature, whatever they're calling them, signature events. So it's going to be an interesting, I like that, week one of the season, it's not week 13 or whatever with the wraparound. First tournament of the year is the first tournament of the season. The points all started at zero, and you know the standings now are the standings based on golf playing this year.
Yep. So,
how much did you guys watch? Did you like it? Did you enjoy it? What were your thoughts going on?
Yeah, I watched a bunch of it. It's kind of one of the ones I usually like to watch every year because the course is incredible. They had closed it. I mean, due to the fires and stuff, I think they were closed a lot longer before the tournament. So everything was just pure. They were saying the greens were a little different than they have been because they've had much more time to get them ready. And my gosh, then it's crazy how tight those fairways were when they were showing it close up, how the ball just with the drone footage following the ball rolling it down the fairway. It's like it rolls for like almost a minute, like on hole 18. So. Yeah, I watched a ton. I love it.
It rolls forever.
Yeah.
It absolutely rolls forever. It's fun to watch. Who was it? Max Homa hit a shot on 7, which is not really a hole that gets a lot of long shots like that because of the way it's laid out, the balls come to rest in the rough or they get caught up in the bunker, and the fact that he was able to sneak it up in there, you see a lot of the shots into that hole are up on the hill on the left side, because if you get going down the hill, you're dead in that right thick nasty stuff. So it was cool that they were able to play the course a little differently because the winds were going a little differently. Chris Kirk,
yeah,
you know, everybody knows it's going to be a 30 under tournament and you better come with your A game. Jeremy, your boy broke a record.
Yeah.
Sungjae at 34 birdies, the most birdies ever in a 4-day PGA Tour event, which you knew was going to take place at a, you know, par 73 course that, you know, is massively, yeah, massive fairways and long. So, Joe, are you with us or no?
I am. My dad just called me because my heater did go out again and my brother fixed it at first. And now he's looking for a blower motor. And my dad just called me. My brother is like 21 years old. So he's like, my stepmom was over at his house today and was like, did you fix your brother's heater yet? And he said, no, I don't have any money. And so I got to hit him up and be like, hey, whatever, if you need a ride, you need money, like, let's do it. I'll take care of it. But I wasn't listening because I was on the phone with my dad. So yeah, Tiger is really cool, man. I think it's a great, I think it's great.
Tiger's really cool.
Yeah. Well done, Joseph.
Hear what you were talking about, but yes, I am here, but my dad hit me up. So I had to take that call. I denied him once and I was like, he called me again right away. So got to answer, right?
Then you know you're in trouble.
Yeah.
What did you think of it, Matt?
Joe. Oh, with all the, I don't know if we'll get into the no lane up and Brandel Chamblee back and forth about the PGA Tour and their show. But I was really annoyed by playing through for this tournament. I don't know if it's because it's the first tournament of the year and I'm excited to see the play. So many goddamn commercials, and I get it. They need the money to pay these guys these enormous amounts of money that they're paying them for these tournaments. But the playing through, man, just stop. It's too much. It makes it really hard to get into a flow of what's going on in the tournament when every 5 minutes they're cutting away.
Yeah.
And you got to listen to a Hyundai ad or a Rolex ad while you want to know what's going on in the golf course.
You know what'd be cool is if they if they kind of worked it out with all the advertisers to maybe every other break it showed, maybe the audio stayed with the golf on every other break, and then the other ones have the audio for the commercials, or at least design the commercials so they're better for visual than audio, because it does suck when you're getting into it and then all of a sudden it goes to break and you can't really follow what's going on for a few minutes. It's 7 times an hour, so yeah, it is annoying.
So you guys were talking about the Brandel, the comments with no laying up, correct? I'm assuming.
Yeah, when Brandel kind of chastised them a little bit for going to a commercial break during the Lee Trevino interview.
Yeah, I mean, so I love Brandel. I do like Brandel. I'm one of the few, of course.
Me too.
I think he's a brilliant golf mind. I mean, he has so much knowledge, and I know a lot of people hate him, but No Laying Up is a small brand. Of course, they are going to take a commercial break occasionally on their podcast. Like, we're a small brand too. Chasing Daylight Podcast, we don't have a shit ton of followers. But if somebody wants to broadcast an item as a commercial on our platform that we see fit, we're going to take that. And we're absolutely. Absolutely, of course. But we're not going to give 30 minutes of our hour to a commercial. No matter how much money they offer, I'm assuming, right?
Unless it's from the PIF, right?
No. Okay. Well, it depends if it's like PIF money, maybe. But
I'll run a PIF ad for the whole hour if we could get paid like that.
But there'd be a lot of lost listeners, but
Of course.
It's hard to compare like how Brandel compared the PGA commercials to a No Laying Up podcast. That didn't make, I love Brandel, right? But that didn't make any sense. And I think No Laying Up's response was perfect because it was a minute out of 60, you know, and when we're watching a tour event, I mean, it's like everything, right? Like, that's why people love Netflix, because there's no commercials. Actually, they did instill that recently, I think. Am I
in Prime?
Incorrect with the, yeah, so. But
and Prime is adding commercials, and
yeah, a lot of people are adding commercials
to opt out.
A lot of people are adding commercials, but previously that wasn't how it went. But PGA must have been the fucking candlelight for all these brands to do that, because it was at least 20 minutes of commercials every hour, at least.
Yeah, Stems Golf chiming in. If I pay for the Golf Channel or Golf Pass, I shouldn't have to see the commercials.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. 100%. And I mean, they switched. Thankfully, NBC only had the coverage for a certain amount of time. This being a tournament that is in Hawaii, the time difference really jacked it up for the East Coast. So being able to go over to Golf Channel and run it commercial free for the last hour was it at least, you know, made it a little bit more enjoyable to watch, because you were able to get into a vibe. But as much as I loved hearing Kiz in the booth, man, I mean, this is something golf needs to figure out. You know, the sponsors, it's like, hey, we need to find some other way to get your value other than disrupting our product, because we are.
Here's the thing where I think is, like, a lot of the commercials are like Rolex, you know, Genesis, and a lot of the newcomers to golf are not buying Rolexes. Am I incorrect in that statement?
Except Greenlee.
Well, yeah, Greenlee, he's beyond bougie, you know, so obviously he doesn't think so. But, you know, he visits Vegas, and then, you know, I have a hoodie for him and, like, my Las Vegas Stanley Cup Champions newspaper for him. And, you know, I forgot he was here, fortunately. But then he texts that the Omega is not for sale, but he bought a Swatch, you know. Anyway, I think they're out of touch. I think they're out of touch with the consumer. I think that's the main problem. And the consumer could be a Rolex fanatic and a collector or whatever it is, but if that's it, then get in touch with that consumer. But they're out of touch with the golf consumer currently. And then golf consumer is not in touch with what they're displaying. So,
yeah.
Yeah. There's so many things that they could cover. It's a new season. There's new product. They're going to post up 3 days at the PGA Expo at the golf show next week. And this is some of the stuff that they could cover now at an event. Hey, Callaway's just released 3 new drivers, and this player has it in their bag right now. And, you know, there's so much more conversations that they can have to give these people that are paying them their spotlight without having to go to the plane through. I mean, at least we get to see the golf.
Yeah, I've never. It could be worse. I've never watched a live event on the Cartoon Network. But do they do commercials for live events?
I don't know. So,
I don't know.
We have applied for our media credentials for the live event here in Vegas, and as bad as a rap as live golf gets from the PGA, you know, old blood fanboys, if they don't let us come out there, you may never hear about live golf on this podcast ever again, because they should be going, yes, please come, yes, and help spread the word about how much fun this is.
Yeah. I saw Vegas Bagroom. He posted a video earlier today of all the stuff being posted. So it's coming. It's a month away. I mean, it's crazy.
And I was talking with Cyrus earlier today. And Cyrus is from Canada, or has lived in Canada for the past, you know, however many years he was there. He'd been up there a while. He was like, dude, it's cold right now. You know, we got this little cold front going on in Vegas right now. It's cold. You know, my backyard didn't get above 40 degrees today, which is cold for Vegas. If you're tuning in from Minnesota, you're probably laughing in your shorts and you're walking to the mailbox in barefoot in the snow. But,
well, we got us, the wind out here.
Yeah, it's cold. And he was like, dude, what are the chances that the live event is absolutely miserable conditions? And I said, well, Cyrus, I have played golf in February in shorts, and I've also played it bundled up like the Michelin Man.
Yeah.
So it's a 50-50. It could be absolutely miserable, or it could be beautiful. Hey, look who's out in the chat. What up, Stems, from Mr. Jed himself. What's up, Jed? How you doing, sir?
Yeah, I think they should accept our thing, right? Because we're going to be out there if it's shit weather, of course, because that's what we do. We are psychos, so, and if they don't, then I don't know, they must be fucking, there must be some European trash running that thing, you know? I don't know.
We shall see.
They need to fix. They need to fix their announcers. That's like the one thing for me. Like, it's hard to watch because the announcers are DP World Tour announcers, and they need to figure that out.
It's the best way to fall asleep.
Yeah, totally. But I want to go see John Rahm because that's going to be John Rahm's debut on Live Tour, of course. I mean, Brooks is out there, Bryson. I mean, Matt Wolf, Joaquin Naaman. I mean, there's a lot of really good players out there, the Country Club is a great spot. I mean, they're going to tear that place up, but it's very walkable. If you are in the media, I mean, you can walk that
very flat.
And you got 9 and 18 right there to come in. I mean, I saw Kevin Na out there, made his albatross, the first albatross of the year for him. But yeah, hopefully they accept it because we are the premier podcast of Las Vegas golf. So if they don't, then they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So
and
that's on them.
And I will say that is brought to you by the Golf Stop, the premier indoor TrackMan lounge, new here in Henderson. If you have not gone to the Golf Stop, please visit them. It's an amazing place with a real laid-back atmosphere, some fantastic TrackMan bays to hit in, and we love going and checking out the Golf Stop. So go do that. If you haven't, it's a great place. So, all right. Do you want to talk about the 10K stuff? Have you seen this? I know those of you who work, you have no idea.
I don't even understand what the fuck it is. I mean,
that is exactly what I wanted to talk about.
That sounds like video. Like, there's no 10K fucking screens at Costco yet. So,
they're coming. Yeah. They're coming.
I mean, just they stepped it up way too far. They should have jumped to like 5K. Would have made more sense. Yeah. So,
all right. So, if you've been on Instagram, sorry, I almost said Twitter again, Joe. I'm sorry. On X, you would have seen a lot from Ping, TaylorMade, and Cobra about 10K. Ping has a new driver. It's the new driver that they just released, but a new version. It's the 430 Max 10K. TaylorMade has their new line. It's the, what is it? IQ10? Is that what it is? QI10. That now they have the QI10 10K. And Cobra has the dark, I can't remember what it's called. Dark Speed, I think is what it is. And Roars, I was chatting with him this morning. He was filling me in a little bit about what this is. MOI for a golf club, specifically drivers, putters, we all know MOI is forgiveness, but the same thing with golf clubs, regular in general. The driver specifically is how much the club resists twisting. So the higher the MOI, the less the club will twist at impact on a toe strike. And the golf clubs over the past
couple... Are they going to describe it as a number, like torque in a shaft? Because it's basically what it is, right?
Well, it's the clubs that have come out of late have been around 7,800 to 8,000 on the way they measure MOI. And so reaching 10,000 is a milestone in golf tech.
Oh, that's why it's 10K.
Why it's 10K.
Losers.
Yeah. And do you know how hard that is going to be to explain to people in Instagram ads and TV commercials? But 10K, we've done it. You know, we hit 10K. And so that's what that is all about. Basically, what I have been complaining about on this podcast since we started talking about the ball rollback is the driver is easily one of the easiest clubs to hit in your golf bag and get results. Not saying that it is easy to do consistently or for people that, you know, struggle with hitting the longer clubs, it is still not an easy club to hit. But when you take a professional that gets paid a lot of money to play this game and is very talented at scoring a club head to the ball, and then you expand the sweet spot to include the entire face now, you're going to get some ridiculous numbers. And Callaway is putting out ads. Joe was telling me about this, and I didn't believe him, but then I saw it. Mm-hmm. They're running ads where it's showing plus 11 yards on the toe, plus 14 yards on the heel, you know, at plus 6 yards in the center. And it's insane, but they have found some ways to increase the MOI to this mythical, magical 10,000 number.
Here's my issue with that, though.
And that's what we're seeing.
Is because I don't think they're going specifically off of like what your drive off the sweet spot would be. It's like the last driver, if you hit it off the heel, you got plus 9 yards off of that shot. You know, and I think that's misconstrued.
I think
they're marketing it incorrectly, because if you hit the sweet spot on a driver, no matter what, it's going to go further, right? But I think what Callaway is saying is, if you would have hit the previous version of this driver off the heel on this driver,
that makes sense.
You'd get 9 more yards off of that strike that you had on the previous year's driver.
So the paradigm triple diamond, you hit this on the heel compared to this one, you're going to hit it 14 yards. All right.
I think they're like, you can miss hit it and hit it further than you would off the sweet spot. That makes no fucking sense at all. But compared to last year's driver, if you would have hit that same heel shot off last year's driver, you would hit it further 9 more yards off the heel on this year's driver.
It's interesting.
Yeah. It's all fucking marketing, man. I mean, how do you market it? You know?
It's interesting. I'm
it is. That is for sure.
Making the driver more forgiving is not a way, in my opinion, to help golf.
Yeah, I think we all need to go to Todd Dempsey fucking drivers. Let's do it.
I don't know. It's beating a dead horse at this point, in my opinion, that these guys, they're going to continue, because you look at the long drivers from 10 years ago, the numbers that they were putting up and the numbers that they were producing. You know, some of these guys on tour now are doing that. It's, you know, swing it as hard as you can and, you know, use your athleticism and your talents to be able to square a face at 130 miles an hour swinging a club and, you know, let's go. Fact you're seeing Bryson competing in long drive challenges shows that, you know, the golf clubs are allowing these guys to do that. And that's the golf industry causing that problem, not golf ball manufacturers, not athletes that are, you know, talented and have an amazing work ethic. It's
Here's the thing,
TaylorMade allowing it to happen.
No matter where the equipment goes or where the ball goes, there's going to be those players that figure out how to play it better than other players. I mean, there's always going to be somebody that works harder than the others, and they're going to figure it out. So, I mean, I understand what they're trying to do, right? They're trying to bring these old school courses back into play to create the history and all that, you know, but there's always going to be somebody working harder and trying to figure out where to hit it or where not to hit it, or it's always going to be a problem. It's always going to be a problem.
Yeah.
Always.
You know what would be an interesting thing is if they did like a, if they took an average golfer, I don't know what handicap that would be, 10, 15 handicap, and do like a case study where they follow this golfer for multiple years and through different equipment changes and see if the equipment changes actually improve their game. Because I don't know if these equipment changes are meant to improve players' games or if it's to make it more enjoyable for them to hit it straighter and longer. But I mean, honestly, like the only thing that's going to make you better is practicing. I don't think it's really your
100%.
It's not even around the driver, really. Like if you want to get better, it's 150 yards and in. So
totally.
Yep. I'm just curious, like, what do you guys think? Are they doing it just for people to have more fun and to hit bombs and hit it straighter? Or do you think people really think they're going to get better by playing a driver that they can hit it anywhere on the face?
Well, hitting bombs does not make it better.
Dan, you've been quiet.
I don't know. I think it could be like a little bit of both. I think now that you got all these different types of drivers, like for the most part, you got these new high handicapper type drivers where the club face already comes like shut to help slicing, you know? So I think maybe just, it gives people maybe confidence to maybe think that they're getting better in their golf game, which, you know, like we, like you said, Jay, the only way to get better is to work at it. But I don't know. I think confidence has a lot to do with how, you know, a person actually can get better too. You know, when they stop slicing with these anti-slice drivers or these super close face drivers, you know, it makes them like want to come out more and play more, and does give them a better time also. So I don't know. I think it's a little bit of both. You know, I don't know. It's hard to say because, you know, I'm more of like a traditionalist when it comes to the driver. You know, I don't really adjust mine too much. I like mine just slightly open. I maybe I'm just dumb and just don't understand the science completely behind all the way these things are designed. But I think it could be both. I think it's just a lot to just make people feel better on a golf course. To see what a straight ball actually looks like. But if you don't take the time to get to the range and get better, you know, it's only going to last for so long. You know, you still got to get out there and grind and do the drills and get into the proper positions and do it right. Or else you're just going to, you know, keep buying these game improvement clubs and it's not really improving your game. It's just improving your ball flight.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. I mean, they come out every single year, and even a closed driver is not going to fix a super over the top swing.
Exactly.
You're still gonna slice the shit out of it. I mean,
yeah, it's a problem. Yards instead of 30.
Yeah, they sell weak confidence to players. I mean, you got to find out what works for you, and you have to hit balls. You have to pound balls. It's just like losing weight. You're not going to lose weight if you eat fucking Taco Bell every day. You're going to lose weight if you get inside the gym and you eat healthy, and you're going to pound balls. You got to pound balls to hit it straight or to hit a draw or whatever you're working at. You have to pound it because it's not easy.
It's a difficult game.
It is.
It's a difficult game.
I went to Las Vegas National to help my buddy Louie. He was in my hip hop group back in the day. He picked up golf recently, and he was like, "Hey, can you come and just like show me some things?" And I've been putting it off because obviously we have a lot of tournaments. We do the podcast. There's, you know, a lot going on in my life, but I made it work, and it was good to see him. He was in my wedding party. Great friend of mine, but you know, I watched him hit a few balls, and I'm no coach, right? Like I don't understand the golf swing as well as many people, but I can see some things that are going on, right? And he was hitting balls. I said, just hit a couple balls, and like, you're doing this, you're doing that. And I was like, dude, you need to get a net. If you want to get good, you have to hit it. You got to get a net. You just have to pound balls, man. Figure out some feels, pound balls, pound balls, pound balls. Cause that's what I did when I started. I mean, I put a net in my backyard. I was grilling carne asada or whatever, al pastor, whatever it was on the grill. And, I would just hit balls.
Pound balls.
Yeah. You have to hit, you have to realize those feels, and you have to exaggerate them, and you got to hit balls, man. I mean, there's no way around it. There is absolutely no way around it besides hitting balls and figuring it out. There's no way around it.
Or getting on the golf course and playing.
Yeah. I mean, but some people can't play all the time, and that's him. He can't play all the time. He has like 6 kids.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
He's Mexican. shout out.
Didn't have to go there, but all right.
Yeah. Well, he's the homie, but, playing is better for you, of course, but you still have to realize those swings, and you have to hit balls. I mean, you have to find find those feels and you have to hit it. You know?
All right.
Pound balls.
Pound balls.
Yeah, grill some carne asada and pound balls.
Yep. Grill carne asada, pound balls.
All right. Tiger Woods broke the internet with his, and this is one of the reasons I'm so glad that we're doing these, you know, on Tuesdays now, because we have a couple days to digest everything that's going on instead of, you know, waking up the next morning and the news comes out and we got to wait a week to talk about it. So Tiger Woods released statement. Everybody was talking about it. We said last week how it was hilarious that, you know, people were commenting that he was still on the Nike page at 12:01 on January 1, but he came out and said thank you, and you know, Nike said, hey, it was a hell of a round with their little ad that they put out, which was kind of cool. I shared a video with you guys earlier today, a guy that did marketing for Nike. I thought it was one of the best summaries that I've heard from all the theories that are out there to why this is happening. You know, Nike makes their money in running shoes and basketball, and they are, you know, falling off as far as a top tier brand in those areas. And so, hey, you know, we love Tiger and it was a great run, but we got to get back to our bread and butter and bring the money back to this company on how we originally started it getting there, which is, you know, track and field and basketball. And so I think you're going to see a big push for them in those areas, like he was saying. And, you know, it's not going to hurt them as much as I think people think it's going to. They're a massive company with billions of dollars, and not seeing, you know, Tiger Woods on Nike apparel is not going to change a lot of people's minds. Stuff is so overpriced now. It's ridiculous. You know, you go into a retail store that sells golf apparel, and you know, polos, an average polo now is $90-$100, which, I mean, 6-7 years ago, if you had $100 polo, you were bougie fancy
big, you know, time.
And now that's like the standard, which is crazy to think.
Inflation, man. It's being a Jesus too, man. It really has.
What was I at the grocery store? I was in the grocery store looking yesterday, doing my weekly grocery shop, and a bag of almonds is $12. And I'm like, good Lord, that's a lot of money for some almonds. It's just insane, the prices of everything nowadays. So I'm not upset that Tiger's leaving. It's going to be weird seeing him in a different apparel, but it also, it's a new era for him to, mm-hmm. You know, who knows what he's going to do. Dan shared with us something that he found earlier today that said TaylorMade is buying Grayson, and Tiger's going to have an equity share in the company, and he's going to release a line under the Grayson label, which, hey, if that happens, it's, you know, Callaway bought Travis Matthew. TaylorMade used to be partners with Adidas. That went by the wayside. You don't know. We'll see.
I think it makes a lot of sense, though.
Oh, absolutely.
It makes a lot of sense.
You know, and it made me ask the big question. If TaylorMade does buy Grayson, does JT switch over to TaylorMade?
I'm going to say no on that.
I think it's a no.
I'm going to say no on that. He's a Titleist guy.
Hey, we got Kevin Stratton in the chat. What's up, Kevin?
And I think that, because, you know, JT, he's like Tiger a lot. Like, he always likes tweaking, and, you know, he's the mayor of Tinkertown for the PGA Tour. You know, his irons are always
easy
on set. You know, there's like zero offset with JT's clubs. You know, they're super, like, I think they're upright because how you know, vertical his swing is. And, you know, he's been a Titleist guy since he came out. So I think in order for him to switch over to TaylorMade, I mean, you know, he's going to have to, obviously he'll be involved with the club making, but that seems like a little bit much. But the Grayson thing is already there. He's already, you know, he's already been in Grayson for like a year. So I feel like he'll, you know, keep the apparel line with the Grayson, but I can't see JT doing TaylorMade.
Yeah,
I mean, Titleist did fire him, right? As a sponsor, didn't they yank his hat when he had his remark?
What did he say?
He dropped the F bomb.
Fuck.
And I'm not talking about fuck.
No. it was after that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Titleist dropped him or not. I know Polo did in a heartbeat, but
That's who it was. Ralph Lauren.
Ralph Lauren. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who it was, not Titleist.
But let me ask
you. We were expecting Titleist too, but they didn't. That's right.
Let me ask you this. What's the date today? The 8th? The 9th? What is it today?
Today is the 9th.
It's the 9th. Yeah.
Okay, we are 9 days into this year. With this announcement by Tiger today, does he already win the PIP?
Oh, God. Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
That's got to change. We could have a whole nother episode about that.
I think that's a whole fucking fraudulent ass thing that PGA Tour has done, and they just need to figure some shit out.
Yeah, that's got to stop. But yeah, you're right. He 9 days in, he was like, let's set a new record. One tweet, and let's see if I can bring home $10 million.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what he was searching for. I just think, I mean, we had been talking about it. It's been rumors for a few weeks. I mean, but it was also kind of weird that, you know, Nike's out of golf, and then I saw a picture of Fleetwood in some new Nike golf shoes. Do you see that? So it was like Fleetwood was wearing some new Nike golf shoes. So it's interesting, because is Nike out of golf, or is Nike still in golf, or is Tiger just done with Nike, or what's going on?
Well, there's a lot of guys that still wear Nike. Scottie Scheffler wears it. Tommy Fleetwood wears it. Tom Kim just signed a big deal with them. So
Rory.
I forgot about Rory. Jesus.
I mean, Rory hasn't played yet, but I mean, who knows what's going on?
Oh, Kevin with some knowledge. Wolf isn't with Nike anymore either.
Yeah.
I think they're still doing it. I think Nike's still doing golf.
I think they look like a clown out there.
Oh, my God. We'll get to that in a second.
I mean, I don't mind some of that stuff, but wow.
I think Tiger was like, there was an opportunity and it's time to break away. That's because I don't see Nike leaving golf. Like, I don't see it happening, because they have all the facilities. They're going to make clothes. I mean, all they got to do is make clothes and shoes. I mean, if Tiger leaves, people are still going to buy that shit. I just think it might be a ploy where Tiger is going on to a next chapter.
What's the ploy, though?
The ploy is for Tiger to make more money. I mean, he's going to get a stake in something, obviously. I mean, Nike makes gear for all sports. I mean, they don't have to have Tiger to make golf clothes.
Yeah, I mean, nobody has said Nike's leaving the golf space. Tiger is leaving Nike.
Yeah, Tiger's leaving Nike, but I've also seen people are like, Tiger or Nike is leaving golf. I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, with the amount of money that they have invested in players not named Tiger Woods, it would be kind of hard for them to just shut the door on everyone.
Well, I think it perpetuated it from Jason Day, because Jay Day was Nike, and now he's on Malbon, and with Tiger leaving, that happened. I mean, they got Scotty. They got, like you said earlier, but they can still make the gear for golfers, but not have Tiger on the lineup. I mean, that's not, I mean, that hard to imagine. I mean, they make fucking long ass basketball shorts for people that go to the gym at Planet Fitness. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and it is what it is. I mean, I don't think they're leaving the golf space, is what I'm saying, because I've heard that.
Any word on what Tiger will wear now? Yeah, we're thinking Grayson. That's the rumors that are floating around out there. I said in our group chat with everybody going to band, and I got goosies thinking about him wearing G4, because I am big G4 fan as far as the shoes go. But I don't know that, I mean, they're, I don't know. That's, that would be, I mean, it happened with, Travis Matthew, you know, getting bought by Callaway. Bubba was on the G4 wagon early, you know, he was with Oakley early. He, I mean, he was all over the place. Travis Matthew at what, all these different places that have all kind of blown up since he was there. But there's really not a whole lot of other brands out there. Travis Matthew is linked with Callaway. Grayson is an independent. There's not a whole lot of, you know, he's not buying Loudmouth, I'll tell you that much. Yeah. You're not going to see him in,
or
that
Bad Birdie. He's not buying Bad Birdie. Bad Birdie.
Maybe PGA, PGA Superstore brand.
Yeah, Walter Hagen. Yes. You know, he can wear Walter Hagen at Dick's. There's not a whole, I mean, you walk around the Golf Galaxy, you know, I'm just in my head, you've got the Adidas, Nike, Walter Hagen, Travis Matthew, Puma, Under Armour. That's pretty much the big brands in the world of golf apparel. With all the smaller independents, I think Grayson is probably the most appealing, mainly because JT is repping it and Charlie's.
Yeah, yeah, I think it makes complete sense. I mean, when did Callaway buy Travis Matthew? What was that, 3 years ago, 2 years ago?
A couple years, yeah. Well, it's probably been four.
That was 2020. No,
that was OGO that they bought first, and then they went after Travis Matthew. We'll have to have Beds. He can let us
Yeah, go. But it makes, I mean, it makes complete sense. Like Callaway is being the conglomerate, right? They're expanding their territory into different avenues of the golf space, and they are a big brand. They had the money, they purchased it. TaylorMade's been doing really good, of course, but the Stealth 2, the Stealth, all that. And that's a great branch out for what they're doing. I mean, and what other brand of clothing is in a lot of pro shops? I mean, there's Johnny O, there's Linksole. Linksole's not selling out, I don't think, personally, but Holderness and Bourne's, which is heavily southeast,
Peter Millar,
northeast.
Straight
Peter
down.
Millar. Peter Millar is not buying out. I mean, Grayson, and you look at all the, it just makes complete sense because they're going to branch out into attire, and one of Tiger's best friends is JT. I mean, on tour, of course, and he's been rocking it for a year plus now. And I mean, you just got to watch the PNC. I mean, Tiger is big time Nike. His son was rocking Grayson. I mean, I don't think there's any bigger tell than that. And I don't know if we get the TaylorMade purchase buyout of Grayson, but I think we get the Tiger signing of Grayson, you know, and Tiger might get fucking 50% of that brand. Who knows? But I think TaylorMade purchasing a clothing brand makes sense because Callaway did it a couple of years ago.
Also, too, I don't know.
Joe has predicted it.
Yep, it's happening.
I don't know if you guys remember or not, but during the PNC, Larry Harold had out something about Charlie Woods welcoming him to like Team Grayson or something like that. So could be.
Really? That happened?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Gerald tweeted out something during the coverage about welcoming Team Grayson and actually even got Team Grayson to like it.
Interesting. Yeah, and maybe that's why all the rumors are swirling about him with them. So,
yeah,
I think we need to get Barrel. We need to get Barrels on here. I mean, Loop Golf Ledger. I mean, Benzie Golf Club, Golf Club, and we just need to get Loop Golf on here because Mr. Pins and Passports himself, Barrels. He's tied in with Grayson as well, so maybe we can get some inside stories.
Yeah,
I'm messaging him again right now.
Yeah, send him a message. Let him know what's up and tell him, come on the show and let's chat. So Yeah, you got anything else on the Tiger news? He said, see you in LA. So clearly he's not playing until the Genesis, which means he won't be at Farmers, won't be at the American Express. So waiting until, the Genesis, and hopefully he has a driver this time and lets somebody take him to and from the course. Don't need any more accidents, El Tigre. So that'll be, it's a good place. Where is Grayson based out of? Does anybody know? Or
I do not know. I would assume like San Francisco area, but I don't think, right, I don't know that for sure.
Get on that stat guy. See what we can find out where, because I mean, LA, huge population, Hollywood, that's going to be, I could see them rolling out their purple velvet carpet for Tiger as he comes out of his Hyundai Genesis, as he's walking to the course for the first time with his hat backwards and sunglasses on.
It says Michigan.
What?
Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
According to their LinkedIn.
Well, maybe that's where the wolf comes from up in the.
Yeah. Grayson Clothiers, Detroit, Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Detroit what?
Flagship stores in downtown Detroit.
So do you want to give a little bit of love to the Mr. Dan Hodges, this guy right here. He won the week in the CDP versus the World Fantasy Golf Challenge. Cal was a little upset with us. Listening to the Birdies and Bourbon, he thought it was a one and done. So he was a little upset that it wasn't, but he did finish fifth and he gave us a little shout out. So Cal, Joe still owes you a bottle of bourbon.
Hey, no, we all do. We all do.
Dan, you're not in on this because that was last year. So you don't have to worry about that. but yeah, we still know that we owe you.
We do.
The goods. Yep. So we'll hold true to our word. We lost, and you guys clearly whooped our ass last year. So, then we had Alvin from Mulligans and Hackers, and then leave the pin in. Drew, was it Drew? No, it wasn't Drew. Who was it? Gosh darn it, I can't remember. Let me look real quick.
He's going to have to look it up.
I know.
Gonna have to look it up.
It's going to drive me nuts. Here, Joe, go.
Yeah, I mean it's been a fantastic week this week. What a turnout. True Linksware in full effect. You can go if you're a True Linksware fan, Chris Kirk won, obviously. You can go get the Ripstop 2s at like half price. Mm-hmm. You can go get the Lux Pros half price, I think, is what they're doing right now. Mm-hmm. Go check out truelinksware.com. Because they're the greatest golf shoes I've ever worn in my entire life. And your champion from the century was wearing them when he pulled off that incredible shot on the 17th hole, the 4-iron, 205, boom, bang, Trosky.
And that's not an easy green to keep the ball on because it really turns. It was another Dan at Leave the Pin. So then we had Ben, Cal, Birdies and Bourbon, Joe, Greg from Golfing Dad's Tavern, Dave from the same show, Connor from Inside the Leather, Steve from the Golfing Dad's Tavern, Jeremy, our Jeremy, Tyler from the Mid-Am, Chris from Mulligan Hackers, and then finishing last, this guy.
Yes, right, good job, man.
Really showed up for that first event.
Really good job.
Way to go.
Proud of you.
So I took some scrubs because you never know what happens that. And Ludwig did not, that's a place for your first time there. You're not going to do well.
He got you a good Sunday, though. Shot 10 under on Sunday.
Yeah, but I didn't put him in the lineup on Sunday.
Me either. Well done. I had him and Mark Howe on the bench.
For Cal, read the rules a little bit about it because, you can only select a player so many times during a segment. Check out how long the segment is, so don't waste the good players on every week because you won't have them come near the end of the segment. So thanks everybody who's gotten in that. A couple guys that didn't join. So if you're a golfing podcast and you want to join, just send me a message on Instagram and I'll send you the link to how you can pop in. Long season.
Long season.
So
I did see on the Birdies and Bourbon podcast this past weekend, they
what?
You're on mute, Joe.
I did see that the Pappy makes a really good old fashioned. So allegedly.
Oh, I saw that.
Allegedly. Okay. Jeremy, you got in some golf on Sunday. You were out at Boulder Creek with Trey in the freezing wind.
Look cold.
It was cold.
Good Lord.
It was definitely cold.
Trey had a face mask on. You guys had the cart tent on. Did you have a space heater on the inside?
No, I gave that to my dad. I need to get another one, but it's kind of like a little overkill to have a space heater here. In Utah, you need it because there's a lot of cold days, but here it's, as long as you're not in the wind, you're fine. So the cover was definitely a W, sure.
A nice way to get out of the wind. I mean, the wind is so nasty out here. And out there, there's no protection.
No, it was like probably sustained like 30 to 40 the whole time. It was still fun though. Like we played a scramble. The course is in good condition. It's just, it's running out because it's dormant. The rough is the same length as the fairway.
So dry.
Greens are quick. It's just, it's a great place. I really love that course.
Did you play desert and Coyote Run and Desert Hawk?
Played El Dorado and Coyote.
The El Dorado side.
Yeah. I don't think they had desert open.
How was El Dorado?
It was, that course is a little easier generally, but I enjoy it. I like the course. It's fun. It's not as challenging, I think, as the other two. So, which the windiest part of the day was when we were playing El Dorado. So, which made it a little more enjoyable. But yeah, Dan and Trey, you're playing out there on Saturday. You should have a great time. It's in excellent shape.
Yeah, we got that little two man challenge out there. So I'm looking forward to that. Looking forward to Trey carrying me.
Yeah, we got Sunday too, right?
And then we got Sunday. Yeah. This is the first time we've played together as a foursome since Black Rock or Black Desert.
Seems like it, yeah.
Because I don't think we've played as a foursome since Dan's been on the show. I mean, we've been all at the same golf course at the same time.
Bring the camera crew in.
Yes.
Bring the camera.
Any videographers out there that want to get some experience filming a mediocre golfer, two really good golfers, and Joe.
And a soul golfer.
Hit me up. Oh, Greenlee's in the Facebook chat.
Wow.
Who goes on Facebook anymore? I told you people are on Facebook.
Greenlee's on Facebook. He's too fancy. Facebook
right there.
Yeah, pass.
Look at that pass. Oh, I tell you, I'm really geeked about StreamYard. I
like it.
No free press, but it's not bad.
No, it's not bad. Riverside for sure.
Yeah. So I played with Joe, Matt Boyd, and Reed, joined us out at Revere on Friday. We played Lexington. Joe, you want to give your insights before I go off on a little tangent?
No, you just go ahead. I don't even know where you're going to go with it, but we played loop golf and it was fun. It made it interesting, so I enjoyed it. But yeah, go ahead. Do what you got.
Yeah, loop golf is a blast. I've got some feedback for them that I'm going to be sharing with them. We were playing a handicap match, stroke match, and we all ended up tying on the last hole. And so I thought it was a push, and then I saw money in my bank. Well, we were looking at the gross scores, not the net scores. So I ended up winning by one stroke, which was, it was cool, but you know, I had a tap in par putt on 17 that it was my worst putt of the day. And Joe's like, oh, pressure. And I'm like, no, it wasn't pressure. I just hit a bad putt. But there was some pressure there because it was tight and we were playing for $10. So it wasn't like, it wasn't a $200 putt or anything like that. But it's a fun way to still stay a little bit engaged when, you know, at the end of the round and it was close and it was fun. The course was in, you know, really good shape for Revere. It's been good all through the winter. It's staying, it's green, it's lush. The fairways are in good shape. The greens aren't as bumpy as they've been. And, it was nice. What wasn't nice was there was six holes that were cart path only, because of the rain the previous day. They had some signs out. Some of the carts had the GPS, you know, gate to where the geofence where you couldn't go in. Some of them, they didn't. So we went out when they didn't, but the group in front of us obeyed all the signs and they, Dan, did you see the videos? Did I send it to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was bad. It was a 5 hour round of golf that should have taken 3 hours and 30 minutes. And I mean, God bless them. They're out there trying. It was a group of older gentlemen, and stay in the cart as long as you can. If you're that old and you can't walk, please quit walking the hole. If you can't walk at a medium pace, because it was bad. We were waiting a lot, and you know, the first 5-6 holes we were kind of cruising along a little bit, slowed down a little bit, but then it got really slow and our games kind of tumbled from there. I understand it's a senior citizen community. I understand that, you know, they're paying just like everybody else. But good Lord, when you make several complaints to the marshal and they do absolutely nothing, and you know, I'm telling them that, look, you know, we've played 8 holes and we're 2.5 hours in, something's got to change, and they don't do anything. It was a little disappointing, but I love that place. I love that course. And Joe, you can attest to this. The putter was working for me. I was rolling it really well.
Remember.
You don't. Remember. Right? What a guy. Huh?
I was listening. I was texting my dad.
I was just texting my brother. So
priorities, Joe. Priorities.
No, you were rolling great, man. What putter did you have in the bag?
Oh yeah,
Ken was asking, right? 37.
It's the long neck is still in the bag. Not going anywhere. Not going anywhere.
All right.
Yep, the Olsen long neck still in the bag. I have a terrible, terrible reading of the greens. I'm awful at reading greens. No ifs, ands, or buts. Oh,
he's going in the plumb bob.
Yes. So I was watching, scrolling through YouTube, and a plumb bob video, a plumb bob video popped up. And so I started watching it, and it was an older guy, and of course, plumb bobbing, old tech. And he was talking about how plumb bobbing works. And so I watched it because I've never known there was actually some science behind it. I thought it was just, you know, I didn't actually really know what it was for. But so I started watching these videos, and that made me go watch more videos. And it was very interesting. And it's just, it's a way for you to assess which way the green is pitched. It takes a lot of the visual influences beyond what you're looking at and eliminates those. And it just makes it a yes or no type answer. And that's kind of something I need. And I had some pretty damn good one putts out there. And I think 3 of them, I said to Joe, that was not where I was going to hit that to. Had I not done the plumb bob and saw what I saw, it really changed it for me. So I messed around with a little bit at Angel Park and was kind of surprised. And so then I said, you know, I'm going to really fully implement this at Lexington and see. And I was surprised. I was surprised. Now, a lot of people think it's horseshit. A lot of people think it's just, you know, it's a farce that it doesn't work. I will tell you from my short, very limited time with it, it is helping me see things that I did not see. So it may be a farce for some. I know Kevin's saying aim point in the chat. Plumb bobbing is basically aim point, just in a different perspective. It's taking the angle of the green, and you are basically standing and using your feet and a measuring device, the putter, to help you figure out the angle. There's still a lot of other things that go into it. You still have to hit the putt on the line. You know, you still have to have the right speed, but it helped me get the ball online much easier. So we'll see how that works out at Boulder Creek on Sunday. You guys got any golf between now and then?
Negative.
Just 5-iron.
Just 5. Yep, are you guys playing Wednesday night still or?
Wednesdays.
Yeah, yep. Wednesdays.
Wednesdays. Okay. Coolio. All right, Joe, you want to see if there's any odds up for Sony? Because I know the pairings are out.
I'll look it up. Right. Give me a minute. Yeah, fill it in.
Fill it in. What'd you guys think of Kisner in the booth?
I loved it.
Great.
It's nice to get players' perspective too. Plus, you learn a little Easter eggs about the different players that only he would know, being out on tour with them.
Yeah,
I think that's cool. I think that's the best way. Just get players. It sucks that he's. I don't know if he's done. If it's just a temporary thing, we may see him out there playing. Hopefully, because I love watching him. But
yeah, I think he said I was on vacation in Hawaii and they needed somebody. It just happened to work out. So.
Yeah,
Kisner's playing this week in the Sony.
Okay,
is he playing?
I thought I saw his name in the pairings.
What was the other tournament he was going to do? It was the Century and then one other one.
Phoenix. I think Phoenix.
Waste Management. Yeah, he's on Waste Management. I think he had some great calls. I loved seeing him in the booth. I think it was a welcomed addition to the broadcast.
Talking about Scotty setting up open on his putts was
great. Yeah.
Like, say that about the world number one. What are you doing?
And him telling like Jordan, just fucking knock it in. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know, like, I think it was great. I think he did a fantastic job. And I think that's what a lot of us golf consumers want to see. And I think NBC did a great job, like inviting him into the booth. I think it was fantastic. And with that, the Sony Open at Waikawa. Favorite, Brian Harman, 16-1. Ludwig, 18-1, along with Corey Connors and Tyrrell Hatton and Matt Fitzpatrick. Sahith Theegala, he was close, man. I had him 22-1. He'll probably get the win this week. I like that. Russell Henley, 22-1. Eric Cole, Chris Kirk, 25-1. Denny McCarthy. Harris English, JT Poston, 28-1. Siwoo Kim, 30-1. Young Hunt on 35-1, along with Justin Rose. Adam Svensson, 35-1. Keegan Bradley, 45-1. Lucas Glover, 50-1. Zalatoris back in the field, 60-1. Oh, look at that. Got his back fixed. All good.
Willie Z.
Akshay, 60-1. Dude just couldn't close it on the final round, but that's okay.
Hey, he was there though.
He was there.
And it was his first time too, right? Because he just won last year for the first time.
Yeah, I think so. Doug Yim, Zach Blair, 175-1. I'm going all the way at the bottom. Jeez, deep. All the way at the bottom, you got
everybody liked Akshay.
Hunter Larson, Rintaro Nakano, Blaise Akana, and Aguri Iwaski, 500-1.
Well done, Joe.
I would have put my money on what's his name, Tad Fujikawa. Fujikawa, yeah, dude is killer, man. 16-1. Third youngest to ever make the cut. Yeah,
actually, switching to the broomstick. Yeah. Definitely improved his putting massively. They were showing those stats where he was almost dead last on the PGA Tour in strokes gained putting, and was killing it this weekend. So we'll see if that happens this week. So Harry's in the field. What was Harry's odds? Did you see? A new married man, Harry.
Yeah, congrats, Harry Hall, man. I'm surprised we didn't get invited to the wedding at Aria, but you know,
250.
It's you know, there's a lot of people to invite. I get it.
Yeah,
Harry, we'll see. We'll see you next time. Joel Damon's in it. 90-1. Harry, you saw Harry at 250-1. Is that what you said, Dan?
Yeah.
Seems kind of deep for him, but.
I mean, there's.
It's a field where anything can happen. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah, Zach Blair almost pulled it off last year, I think. Didn't he finish second or something?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Is he in
there? So no, no, no. Sorry. That right. wasn't last year. It was a few years ago. It was the Travelers was last year where he played well. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's generally played well there. So there's, it's just
yeah,
anyone.
I think it's one of those tournaments where it's, yeah, I think it's one of those mm-hmm. tournaments where it's like anyone.
Actually, he's got a wild video on his YouTube with different putters and the stats. So I'll have to go watch that.
Mm. Interesting.
Hey, Kevin, join the VGN, would you? Yeah. Oh, hey, I can't believe I didn't even talk about this. We had 60 spots open for the first event of the season, sold them all out, had to ask for more. Amazing, amazing job, everybody. Thank you so much. If you're tuning in from the VGN and checking out the show, blown away, absolutely blown away. This time last year, we were at 56 members. We're at 72 right now. Just giddy about it. We need to get some more players. Obviously we need to get some better players to compete in the champions division, our champions division, which is the diamonds. So Kevin, you're in that. Let's go. Come on, get signed up, come out and play. We got Trey, who has just been dominating. Somebody needs to pop up and knock him off his pedestal. Otherwise he's just going to run away with it again. Although Dan will be playing in more events this year. So, the Dan and Jeremy, and we got some other guys. Let's see, what did he say here? I played golf for the first time since USA Four Ball last November, last week. Oh, hey, well, you're loosed up and ready to go. So, bring it in. You know, I still have a goal of 130. I think it's obtainable. I'm going to do a little hard push for, some more, membership from everybody out there right now. Trey let me know that he wasn't aware that, you know, the VGN is an official member club of the SNGA. So if you are a member of the VGN, you can play in an SNGA event. You don't have to sign up with the SNGA. Signing up with us, you get to play in SNGA events. So that may be a selling point for everybody that did not know that. I thought that was kind of common knowledge. My fault for not expressing that well enough. Last year I did a contest where if you signed up and you won your flight, I refunded you the membership. So I may do that again. You know, we had a couple people sign up last year. Actually, Doug Schrader, who ended up winning the player of the year in the spades division, he did that last year, won the first event. He had a free membership and won a ton. I probably would have won a lot more money had he not injured himself halfway through the season. But he still won enough events and got enough points to get in the finals and played great in the finals and pulled that out. So he did it for free. So there's opportunities out there. I may do that again. So Kevin, think about that if that is appealing.
If there's not those opportunities out there, it's a blast. You get to play with a lot of really cool people. You get to play some golf tournaments. You get to win some money. You get to win some skins. I'm in VGN. These guys are in VGN. There's a lot of really good people in the VGN, and it's not just a golf league. It's a networking league. You get to connect with a lot of really cool people. I mean, there's so many people from every different aspect of life, from promoters of fucking concerts to
retired firemen from Chicago,
world-renowned tattoo artists.
Yeah. There's so many people, and you can
connect with so many amazing tattoo artists in the league.
That's true. That's true. Oh, look,
tattoos, here, VGN. I'm putting that up there so we can hold them accountable. Let's do it.
Send him the link.
But anyway, so we got 72 spots now for national. 60.
Which would be fucking crazy.
That's right.
That's a record. A lot of people.
It will be if 100%. The 66th person that signs up for this event, and that tees off, that will be a record. The most we've ever sent out is 65. We did that at Coyote Springs 2 years ago, I think it was. Well, maybe it's last year. I'll have to look and see. But yeah, so I mean, if we can get 72, that gives us some power to, you know, we can go to these golf courses and say, hey, we're bringing 72 players. Yeah. So keep it coming, people. Keep it coming. I've got some good things in store. Bed stepped up big time and hooked us up. We're going to have a designated closest to the pin hole. That is the Travis Matthew closest to the pin hole. Whoever wins that CTP will also win a pair of the new Travis Matthew shoes that will be debuting soon. Equator is going by the wayside. So every tournament, we're going to be giving away a pair of Travis Matthew shoes. Puttview stepped up big time, and they have given the VGN a special page on their website where we can get the Puttview yardage and green books at a discounted price. Huge member perk.
Big discounted price.
Mm-hmm. Big discounted price. So I won't tell anybody how much that is until you join. FN3P Golf has a 30% off discount. Story Eye is a member. The Golf Stop, our sponsor for the show, also is helping us out with the VGN. If you're a VGN member and you sign up for membership there, you get a $30 bar credit a month, which, hey, you know, free drinks for at least one day for some of you. And we have other things happening and coming in. We are having our board meeting and social meetup this Thursday out at Smoke Cigar and Tapas. That's Brad Mark's spot. And we'll be discussing some more things, and hopefully we'll have some more announcements. So it's going to be a fun, fun year. I can't wait to get it going. I'm coming in with some fire and vigor this year because I did not make the finals last year of my own league, which was a little upsetting. So I'm looking to get off to a banging start this year out at National. So
what's it at? 70 currently?
Members or?
Yeah, 70 members.
72, right? 72.
72.
Is where we're sitting at. I got a goal of 130, and we're way over halfway. Let's do it.
So let's go. The 100th member that signs up. Oh. You can track it, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I'll give you the closest size in the Golf with a Soul with more sock with a whole hoodie that I have.
There you go.
Available.
Lots of size.
the size I'm running, I have.
I've ran out of sizes, but
like I'm a 2X. I got a medium. That's close.
How about you tell them how about your next release?
Okay, the size that they want. Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Hey, I got one over here that's got some holes in it. That
unless one of the sizes fit. If one of the sizes fit, you can have it. If not, you get a free one on the next release.
All right.
The 100th member, the 100th sign up. You got to write that name down when it happens.
Not a problem. I track it all. Track it all. So it's going to be a really good season. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
You
got to
remind me because I've been drinking.
Don't worry.
We'll remind you that you offered this tonight.
I'll remind you. Yeah. Hey, Joe said he's paying for two people's memberships. Remember?
No, I did not say that. Nope. Did not say that.
You'll remember that though, right?
Yeah. When it costs me money, I'll remember.
Okay, hey everybody! This is our first run at it with StreamYard. I think we're gonna stay with this.
I think it's good.
I think it's like good. I like it. We'll see how the edit goes for the actual podcast audio. But
true.
I don't know. We'll see how it goes. I like it though. The Paiute event. See Rule 4 chiming in on the Instagram chat is in June. June, first weekend of June, I believe. So that's Dan's spot. So he owns the Paiute tournaments. Mm-hmm. All right, Joe, you want to close her down, bring it home?
Yeah. Thanks for tuning in. Another week of the Chasing Daylight podcast. I'm here in new glasses. Hey-o. Until next weekend, my friends and our friends, we're playing golf. Join the VGN. All four of us are playing at Boulder Creek this weekend on Sundays. Oh, now you look older. You just changed them while you put it on me?
Yeah.
It looks better.
You get to my age, you have computer glasses and see the world glasses. So.
you got computer glasses and Walgreens glasses, reader, them reader joints. Are you sitting like
these? This. These are the readers. These are the readers. I kind of went out for the readers. So, yeah. <Hey. you>
Where they sit on the bottom of your nose. Anyway, thanks for tuning in to Chase the Daylight Podcast this week. We appreciate you telling all your friends, tell everybody, hey, we're going on StreamYard now, it seems like. So we're on IG Live every week, Facebook Live. Eric Grinley tuned in somehow, even though he is not bougie at all. But YouTube, listen every single week. Pass it along. Anything you got to tell us, send it our way, and we'll talk about it. We are here to shout you out, and application is in. Okay, yeah. Shout out Kevin Stratton. Let's go.
You're approved.
So thanks, guys. You got the Sony open this week, and we'll see you next week. Until then, later.